You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Welcome back to another episode. It's Kelly.
Good morning. How are you today?
It's not morning. It's afternoon time when we're recording this. Or is it the morning? That's the whole side of the scenes that people don't get to see about is the behind the scenes. They don't know I'm slowly sitting on a chair that's from Walmart for $15 that makes a creak every time I back up. Slow. Did it pick up the creak?
Yeah, just a little one.
I wish I had like a nice, like comfortable atmosphere where I could see, like, I don't know, like I can't make it. I can't do the joke without it being horrible to sound. So I'm not even going to worry about it, man.
Yeah. I wish I had a little bit more comfortable atmosphere as well. I usually do these either in my workshop or in my living room on the couch here.
Is that your daughter or your wife?
Yes.
You didn't answer. What I said two.
One of each.
Okay.
One of each.
Is she bringing you food?
Yeah.
Are you actually eating food this time? Not a muffin on a drill press.
I have graduated to, it looks like an egg scramble with chicken tamale.
Whoa, that's an upgrade. That's like going from Outback to like a 5-star establishment that actually has some credit to it.
Absolutely.
Did I say Outback? I meant to say IHOP.
Well, Outback, it's just about Outback too these days. I don't know. Like the Outback here is not the best.
Yeah, but they don't serve breakfast.
I wouldn't know. I went and ate there like twice and was like pretty disappointed and just have never gone back. I don't eat out anymore though.
Okay, I don't either. But if you could pick a spot to vacation, where would you vacation?
If I could pick a spot. Hawaii is where I want to go. My bucket list vacation is my dream vacation is Hawaii.
It's not that nice.
You know, it may not be. It's a popular tourist destination, and those places are usually kind of dirty and grungy and have some pretty like lousy areas.
I was sold a tiki for $60 for two of them, little tiki idol things. And I saw it at the Rite Aid right after I bought it for like $7.
Yep. That's the one thing I hate about going on vacation, like anywhere, is because you're not a local and the locals will take advantage of you like as much as they can, you know. And
I'm not mad at it. I mean, I get it. You got to make money.
You got hustled, you know. Yeah, you know.
At the same time, I stared that bitch down as I walked by. I was like, I bet. Kidding me. I was 14 years old with a pocket full of hopes and dreams, and you just shot every single one of them.
Right. Authentic handmade, just like the ones at Rite Aid.
And then you see the guy that's crafting like a wonderful sea turtle out of like wood. He's spending hours and hours like making a mermaid, fucking a zebra. And then he's like, would you like to buy my piece? And you're like, $5. He's like, $5, sure. And he hands it to you. It's like, oh my God, those guys are getting gypped.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to the working man? That's what you called them.
Dude, okay, so this is an interesting topic, and this is something that's very close to my heart, because as a Hot Wheels customizer, I find this to be a very disheartening thing. Like, I make very unique and beautiful items. Like, I have good art. I'm sure you've seen my stuff.
Yeah.
But people will go out, like, people want to bitch about it. You know, like, oh, why is it $40 for a car, pirate? But at the same time, they'll go out and drop like $235 on a mass-produced one of 5,000, one of 300, one of 500, one of whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, so I can have, why? So you can have the exact same thing that the guy next to you has?
I don't want to gloss over what you said because you said pirate. Now, I'm hoping that's what your nickname is. So people call you like pirate. Like, it's like you're a drug dealer. Like every drug dealer named Ike or Steve. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's Dirty Mike back there. It's like you're fucking pirate.
Yeah, that is my nickname. A lot of people, you know, I go by Rusty usually, but most people call me pirate.
So should I stop calling you Kelly?
You can call me whatever you want, basically. I respond to a lot of things. You know, most people don't call me my real name by my real name. My family usually doesn't even call me by my real name.
But I feel like
I respond family, to pretty much anything. Like, yeah, call me whatever you want.
You adopted me from some small third country somewhere, and you're taking me in until I graduate high school or college, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore.
I've been trying, but I don't know if you're ever going to graduate.
I got held back quite a few times. He took college in 9 years. Usually you're a doctor at that point, but I think he's just, something's wrong with him.
Dude, okay. No shit, man. You know what? I have been in college for 9 years and I still have not graduated. And the interesting thing is my first degree program got canceled. So then they tried to like shuffle me around, like take the credits that I could use from that degree program, because that was a computer information systems program. I was working on games design. And then they were like, well, not a lot of these credits apply to anything else, but we're going to try and switch you into this degree program. So then I wound up needing like another like 40 something credits, right? After I already was 2 credits away from graduating, I needed one class basically to get my degree before they canceled the program. And so then I went through this next degree program, and about 8 credits away from graduation, they shut it all down and transferred all my credits into a new graduate program. And I'm like, what in the hell are you guys doing here? Like, how do you offer a program, a 4-year degree, and then cancel it on year 3 or 4? What the fuck is going on here? I feel like I got scammed out of a lot of my money.
You should just see if they can funnel you into a new program, if anything.
Well, that's what they've been doing, is switching me around to programs, but it's like my credits don't transfer into certain programs. You know what I mean? Like, the things that I'm interested in doing, when they're like, hey, how about this? And I'm like, how about not? How about this? And they're like, well, none of your credits transfer to that. I'm like, well, that's great. So my options now basically are going to be like a liberal arts degree of some sort, which is the one thing I did not want when I signed up for college 10 years ago.
Yeah, but college doesn't even mean the same thing anymore. College now.
College is a joke.
I mean, I went for, I guess, the associate's degree, but I mean, I went for chemical dependency, and then I ended up doing a little bit of psychology, but I just didn't end up, I thought about going back to it. Now that's all online, I'm like, that's gotta be easy shit to sit in flip flops, drinking Arnold Palmer, and just do your college classes and not have to worry about going. That was the worst part, was going to the school. I had a class that was at 8 a.m. And then my next class, I only had 2 classes. My next class was at like 4 p.m. So I had to find something to do all fucking day. You know what I did? I ended up, oh God, what's the statute of limitations? Okay. It's about 2 years ago. So I think I'm good. If anything, I just owe them a lot of printer paper. But I would go into the other building where my next class was going to be in like 6 or 7 hours. And I would just be like, hey, this classroom is unlocked. And I'd open it up while no one was in there, sit at one of the computers, and I just print out a bunch of articles. And I have probably 50 binders full of articles that I've just consumed a bunch of information from, like the Men in Black to UFOs to conspiracy theories to government projects to cryptozoology to all around vast information that a child could want. Nobody teaches you these things in school. I went to art history and my teacher's like, what do you want to learn? I'm like, I want to learn about Bigfoot and I want to learn about the crack. And he's like, well, we don't offer that in this program. And I'm like, what the fuck did I spend my money on? This isn't what I wanted. I can take an online class, get a Bigfoot hunter badge for $50 and maybe some Bigfoot hair. But what did I get with this? I'm what, a couple grand in the hole, and you're going to teach me about a fucking fruit on the bowl painting? I don't get it.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I don't know if I've expressed this before, but part of my lecturing contract states that I need to incorporate between 5 and 10 minutes of comedic relief in every hour to two of lecture.
Tell a fucking joke.
Yes, that's what they want. It's edutainment nowadays. You have to engage with the students and like keep them like entertained, because if you're not entertaining them, you're not doing your job. And I'm like, well, I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm here to discuss like esoteric messaging and fucking advertising and symbolism and what this shit means. You know, this is a serious topic. This isn't something I want to be joking around about and catching a bunch of laughs in the middle of. I want people to pay attention to this shit and like learn something, you know, and like realize that what wool is being pulled over their eyes and what kind of secret messages are being like told between the owners of these companies. You know,
there's wool gets pulled over your eyes when you find out that when you have a child, it's $39.99 as a charge to your official medical bill that you get after you have a kid that's just skin-to-skin contact where you're able to hold your baby.
Wow, they charge you to hold your baby?
My friend just recently had a kid, and she was like, what's this? And checked her medical thing, and it says skin-to-skin contact, which is like when the doctor lets you see your baby right when it comes out, and you get to hold it and be like, this is the best moment of my life. Everything's going to change. I'm going to put down the crack pipe. I'm going to start picking up baby formula. I'm going to actually spend my money into Pampers instead of betting on horses at the casino. But no. It actually, that's when the first fee begins into your life. And then every time after that, for the next 18 years, you're slowly putting little payments of food. Or maybe when you go to the store when they're like 5 years old and they grab your leg and say, Daddy, I want this toy. And you're like, I build those toys. And the kid's just like, but I want it now because it's in a pretty package and it catches my eyes. And if you don't buy it for me, I'm going to scream rape. And you're like, whoa, whoa, you're 5 years old. That doesn't matter. The statute of limitations are forever. And you're like, oh, fuck.
That's absolutely true too, man. And you know, it's, I don't know, we live in such a weird and bizarre culture these days, man. Like, with, I don't know what the fuck we're teaching our kids.
It's the same shit that's been going on for years, Kelly. I was up at 1 a.m studying these CIA documents, and let me tell you, they do it in a great way. And I know you're the perfect person, so I want to talk to you about this, because I was looking at these documents. They call it document 1-7B2. And then the next document is document 37-4C. And the next document is document 172A4. And I was like, and there's just 50 pages of documents littered all after this. And I'm looking at it like any reasonable person is going to click through the first couple of documents, then hit the first last ones, and maybe go back to the middle when they're really circling around for it. And they're going to look at it and be like, okay, all these documents are just one pages. But if you keep clicking through those documents, you check every single one, there'll be some one pagers, there'll be some two pagers. Hell, there'll even be a four pager in there. But then you get the one that's like 60 something pages. And you're like, oh, fuck, this is it. They litter that one really, really incriminating one in a list of 50 where it's like they know you're not going to click through every single one to try and find a good one. You're going to lose interest and go off to like a porn site, or you're going to go off to Amazon and buy some shit. Maybe do Amazon, then the porn. I don't know. However you like to conduct your business is how you're going to do it. But I was looking through these and I was like, all right, well, it says UFO phenomena. Like, what does this mean? I'm not talking about the recent ones. I'm talking about the ones that were released like in early 2020 before the pandemic. There was some alien shit that came out, and it was from 1950 something. A lot of it was like finding a satellite in the middle of the Arctic that's 20,000 feet under the ocean or whatever, that we had to go down there in a sub and pull out. Like all this shit that we were doing in the 50s. And I'm like, if you really just examine all the old school, like if you just toss me out an example of something crazy you would like to research into, and I bet you $20 I can look it up on my phone and there'll be a fucking government project after it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Project High Jump. Let's look at Antarctica. Investigating Antarctica.
Just give me a random thought out of your head right now. I'm going to Google it.
Ancient viruses.
Yeah, that's more likely, though. I was hoping you're going to be like socks without sandals, and then I'll look it up and they'll be chopping people's feet off.
How about sandals with socks?
30,000-year-old giant virus comes back to life. March 4th, 2014. An ancient virus has brought back to life after lying dormant for at least 30,000 years. Scientists say it was found frozen in a deep layer of the Siberian permafrost, but after it thawed, it became infectious once again. The French scientists say that contagion possesses no danger to humans or animals, but other viruses could be unleashed as the ground becomes exposed. Well, stop digging, damn it. That's all I got to say to that one. I figured that issue out. That's the issue, is that we want to push the barrier and see how far it will go.
That's, you know, and that's the way it is with everything. When you're looking at like the bizarre physics that are coming out of CERN right now out in, you know, Geneva, Switzerland. And like every single day, there's a new article in like the journal physics or, you know, the science journals and stuff that are like, you know, like bizarre this and, you know, like this is something that, you know, we never knew before. And it completely changes the, you know, pre-existing models of this and that and the other. And it's like, wow, man, you just keep pushing the boundaries and keep pushing the boundaries. And how far can you push the boundary before you really fuck something up? You know what I mean? Like,
well, is that just a symbol of for life? Is that we should keep pushing the boundary? Maybe if I keep pushing the McDonald's server to make me a fucking ice cream cone instead of telling me the machine's broken, I might actually get a fucking McFlurry.
Dude, no, that's not gonna happen. That is a scam. Okay, McDonald's ice cream is a goddamn scam.
They're lazy as shit.
I don't know what it is. Okay, like, so when I was like 16, I was an opening grill person for McDonald's in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. And I was there for 2 years, and our ice cream machine never worked a single day. Not one single day. Now, every time I've gone to order ice cream from McDonald's, I get told our ice cream machine is down. I've never eaten ice cream at McDonald's. I don't know if that shit is real or not, bro, because the ice cream machine, the shake machine, is always down.
No, you know what happened?
What state you're in, what city you're in, or what day it is of what year.
What happened was one person was like, this is too much of a process to make the ice cream, so I'm just going to say it's down because I don't feel like dealing with it today. And then that became the norm answer when it becomes to like, I'm going to keep saying it. And then eventually McDonald's employees started seeing these viral videos of people being like, the ice cream machine's always broken, in a meme. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a lot of hassle when I could just say it's not working right now. And now they never have to worry about making it because you never expect it to work. Now they somehow programmed you like these advertisements that are programming your brain. Now they have you. Okay, here's a good one. Why does the words that we say mean completely different things? For example, I've talked about this in the past. Why does lockdown come to your head as a form of aggressive, don't move like you're a prisoner, but then quarantine, which is the exact same thing in a different manner, have a different image into your head? Quarantine means you're being a safe, a good, kind member of society, but they both do the same shit. They just have different impacts to the words that they say. And I'm like, this is the problem with cults. Instead of everybody coming into a circle and saying, or whatever the hell they're doing, if they just said some normal shit, like, we're going to go fuck some shit up and we're going to have fun. And somebody's probably going to get pregnant. I bet you'd have a lot more people signing the petition to join the cult. Maybe I'm crazy, but I can't be the only one that sees this.
So there's an old saying that is, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. And so I apply that to a lot of things in my life when I'm thinking about things like, so if we look at the way society is being run today, a lot of things are backwards from the way that they should be. And I'm not going to sit here and try and come up with a bunch of examples. It's like early in the morning, I'm having breakfast and shit, but, but the point is like, somebody asked me the other day, like, well, how do these people get involved in these things, you know, like these movements and stuff? And I'm like, well, it's like this, you know, we color it really pretty because nobody, if you just walk out and say, hey, we're going to fucking get together and go kill 5,000 babies today, nobody's going to fucking jump on board with it. But if we put it through some, you know, rose colored glasses, and I got to be real careful how I address this because I'll fucking get you in so much political trouble with your fan base, probably.
I don't think my fan's going to spark up a controversy or spark up some type of movement.
Well, I don't know. You know, I start thinking about, you know, like abortion clinics.
Oh, and Jesus Christ. You hit that one.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, but abortion clinics are functioning. They work. They're at work every day. And they're, you know, how do we kill 5,000 babies? Well, there you go.
Well, you know, I don't steer away from any topics, but
certain types of ideas. Yeah, certainly.
You got to look at the other perspective of that, too, is the fact of, do you want a shitty person giving a shitty life to a baby that's not born yet?
Oh, I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to really get into the topic, into the discussion of like whether abortion is
I think there's a fine line when that thing is actually like, if it's 8 months in, if it's like enough where it's developed a little, if it even has a finger, or if it's developed its dick, I don't know if that's the last part that gets developed, but if it develops anything, that's already a point that's too far, where it's like, okay, you can't, like, you're 8 months and 3 weeks in. I got to let you know that we can't do this. And like, but I want to bail. It's like, okay, you fucked up already. You waited way too long. But I get that point. But I don't get the point where someone can be like a week or something like that. I'm like, I don't know about that. Because, I mean, a week, really? Like, this, is it even have a functioning consciousness? But then you get to hell and there's a bunch of unborn fetuses there. And you're like, oh, fuck, I completely screwed up.
I'm not a big believer in reincarnation, but I watched something recently where this guy was talking about the near-death experiences that people have and how, like, they see they go into the light or whatever the fuck it is, you know. Everybody's a little bit different on their near-death experiences. So, but, you know, it occurs to me, we are an electrical being. You know, we have energy. There's, like, electricity that runs through our body, through our nervous system, out of our brain, into our heart and shit that makes us function. So we are an electromagnetic being. And as such, you know, we probably have the ability to transfer consciousness, conscious awareness. They're working on trying to, like, put that shit on a USB drive so that they can make, you know, digital copies of ourselves for the future so that we can live forever. But if that can be done, I'm sure that if the soul or the energy or the all spark or whatever the fuck you want to call it leaves the body and can be attracted back to another body. And this guy was saying, like, you know, when you have, if you're within, like, if the person that dies is within X amount of proximity of a new person, let's say an unborn child, that soul can transfer into that body. And that's how reincarnation works. And I kind of was half-assed paying attention to the program, and I was doing something else during it, but that caught my attention. And so I kind of want to go back and, like, do a little study on that and see, because that made a little bit of sense to me, that when does consciousness become actually a thing for a fetus, for a human being? And how does that consciousness arrive? Is it, to me, it makes sense that we don't receive consciousness perhaps until the first time our eyes open and we're aware of the things around us.
But are you conscious when you sleep? Because that's probably
sometimes.
That's probably what it's like before you're born. Your brain's still working while you're sleeping. It's just you're not able to be in the moment that you're in. You're not able to experience what reality is. So I'm wondering.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's kind of, I guess, where I'm going with it, is like the experience of reality. Because when you're in the womb, you know, that's a different experience than it is when you're outside of the womb. Completely different. Like, while you can probably hear things, there's a certain, I don't know, man. It seems like there's a certain.
I think the interesting point that you're trying to bring up is, like, the fact, I think a lot of it correlates when people say, like, when's the fine line is when it develops a heartbeat. I don't know what develops first, is the heart or the brain, but as soon as that thing has a functioning organ, I would say that's when you definitely draw the line way before that. You know what I mean? Like, it's very interesting, because I think I heard it best when a doctor was explaining that he doesn't believe that the soul lies within the chest. He believes that the soul lies within the brain. And what he says is that I can take anything out of your body right now and replace it with somebody else's, and it's still you. But as soon as someone fucks with your head, you're fucking a different person. That's even they talk about it when you do, like, anything that happens to do surgery on the brain. As soon as, like, it's like opening up a Coke for the first time, as soon as that seal of whatever, that approval, that nobody's put a Mickey in it, like Bill Cosby, it's already like, that's what your head cap is. As soon as that opens up, it's like, I've already fucking done something I shouldn't have done. It's opening Pandora's box. There's no point in that. That's why I think the soul is definitely probably in the brain.
And seeing now, I would pose this question to you. What about people who get things like a heart transplant or a lung transplant, or
they're still them,
fecal matter transplants, and then begin having memories that aren't associated with their life?
That's when I bring up what I've said before about that. I think that your body holds, like, genetic memory, like any part of your genes is memory. Doesn't mean your memory is your spirit. I don't think those two are in the same. I think your spirit is your personality, developed traits that you have. If somebody's remember, and I'm pretty sure with that study too, when they talk about a heart transplant and a person starts getting a memory, it's never been tested that far. I'm pretty sure it's just cravings of food. It's never been to the fact of remembering somebody's like, oh my God, I remember when I was 7 years old and we lived in Cancun. It's like, we've never been to Cancun. That's never, there's no memory that's come from that. That's false shit. Because I've studied this a couple of times, because throughout my podcast, I've talked to psychics who talk about the whole memory and the ancestral and the reincarnation. I started to dive into this type of stuff. It's only thing is that, like, people that have stomach transplants or any of these types of like different transplants, none of it's a brain transplant. So they don't get the memories. They just get, like, some people will be like, my heart started rejecting the new heart. Because it's your body. What happens is, if you ever get shot or if you get something inside of you, much like a splinter, it'll just work its way out. Your body tries to reject the foreign object. It's just a natural thing, because your genetic numbers, your code in your DNA does not match up to this thing that is not against you, which is really interesting, because I think it all boils down to, like, the acceptability and the compatibility. I believe if you're 100% you, it's going to be really interesting when people start getting machine implants and it's like, what the fuck? Like, this thing, my arm is trying to pop off of my wrist. And it's like, no shit, because it's not yours. It's something that was been put onto you.
You know, you can see that through, like, some of the prosthetic, you know, transplants and stuff that they do for soldiers and stuff. Sometimes they work out really well. Sometimes they do not work out well at all. And that's, you know, I think that you're right about that, you know, and there's some genetic coding, there's some genetic memory. But I wonder how, I don't know. There's a, it's such a peculiar subject, because I love the idea of genetic memory. The sins of the fathers passed on to the sons, things of that nature. You know what I mean? Like, I look at myself in the mirror and I don't really know my dad. Like, my dad split when I was a youngster, and I have seen him off and on. Like, maybe, I don't know, when I was like 17, I went and lived with him for a little while. And when I was in my 20s, I went and tried and lived near him for a little while and could not do it. But I look in the mirror and I look just like my dad. And I say things that are like, I remember my dad saying, and I do things and I'm like, fuck, man, I am my dad. And that's all genetic memory. That's all genetic coding. None of that is like,
yeah, but that wouldn't choice. That's a lot of that soaked up with them, just passed down traits. You know, that wouldn't be developed into a new person if you decided to give your kidney or something to somebody else. They wouldn't have that compatibility to. A lot of that happens to do with how your mind develops and the DNA that's passed in. I mean, you got to think, your sperm, whatever it is, the genetic thing is all kind of boiled down into your sperm. So whenever that gets passed down, the seed, whatever you want to call it, it develops from that. So you're not like, it's like if you had a plant and you plant a seed and you pick off that plant and you put that plant somewhere else, it's not a whole different plant. It's the same plant down a line of plants. It's not going to be exact to the exact same plant you picked it from. It's just going to be similarities. You're a similarities of your dad. You're a similarity. Your dad's a similarity of his dad's. There's not exact. And it's actually more common that you have more things, like, when it comes to looks, to your great grandfather than you do your grandfather or your dad. For me, I look exactly like how my great grandfather did when he was young. You know, you might have some similarities, like, okay, we could tell by the nose, we could tell by the eyes, but that those traits wouldn't get passed through your organs. That's why I say the mind is so interesting, because I think all your organs are, like, if you want to bring it down to simulation or matrix, zeros and ones, they're all ones and zeros. You can transfer your ones and zeros over to someone else and they might have twos and threes. And then you look at that as like, it seems like if you did a scan, there's that one area that's like red, and that's the transfer to organ. But when it comes to your mind, nobody can, like, capture your personality, your thoughts, the way that you're going to craft out your next thought, the way your brain's going to connect something. Those are all environmental things. That's why I think it's a combination of genetics. It's a combination of your environment. It's a combination of everything. That's why there's so many theories when it comes to psychology of how a person gets to where they're from.
Nature versus nurture.
Yeah. It's just, it's very, very interesting to see. Cause I think, I mean, probably with how we're both kind of like seeing how the mind works, especially with advertisements too. If you look at advertising, it's like they're able to capture a wide template of how a person thinks, which makes you start to wonder what happened in our life or what's so ingrained in our society that everyone develops the same attraction to shiny objects, fast cars, strong cars, you know, things that are like very, very appealing. Like everyone, like there's pages on Instagram that are like muscle cars. Why is there a large percentage of audience that is attracted to a muscle car? Well, it's the look, it's the body style, it's the roar of the engine. Okay, that's not genetic, that's developed. Where did that get developed from?
Well, and it goes back to like advertising and marketing. It has a lot to do with advertising and marketing. You know, we can talk about like the De Beers Corporation and diamonds, for example. You know, people talk about you know, time. Yeah. Well, and you know, it's
pick a new example. We got to refresh the show. What are you doing to me?
But it's a perfect example.
I don't want to be stuck in a rut.
Not have to be stuck in a rut. We can explore new avenues from the same starting points.
Let's talk about like vacation homes. Why do some people have a normal
timeshares?
Yeah, that's a scam and a half is a fucking timeshare. I get to use it, what, absolutely, one weekend out of the 3 years I own it?
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, if that weekend isn't on a blackout date. But yeah, so I mean, like there are things like perceived values versus actual values. And like, so like these people tell us, oh, this is, you know, this has got this value to it. Well, who set that value? Who's the one who said that this is worth X amount? Sports cars. I think about, you know, cars and stuff, you know, like for 250 million years of human development, we didn't need a car. And now all of a sudden you got guys out here buying $11 million sports cars. When did the value of that car become $11 million? What is like, what craftsmanship, what, you know, it has four tires, it has four seats, it has a steering wheel. Like maybe there's a little bit more engineering and a little more thought put into it, but is it really the difference between $36,000 and $11 million? Is the leather on that fucking car really worth that much more? You know what I mean? Like, and so probably not, but we've been like led to believe it is. We've been kind of conned into it. You know, we like see like these people who can afford those things, getting those things. Exactly. Exactly. It's all about conditioning. You know, you mentioned something earlier about the CIA and how, you know, they've been fucking with us for the last however many years, you know, and trying to program us. Television and radio programs were called television and radio programming for a reason, because they programmed us to believe certain things. We are subject to electromagnetic frequencies, and especially like audibles, like audio frequencies. You think about it, you know, I bring this topic up to people and people are, no, I'm not that easily manipulated. The fuck you're not, man. Like for 10,000 years, we fucking have done like, you know, used drums to incite violence through war dances. Tell me you're not. If you go and practice a fucking sexual ritual in any kind of tribal environment, you're going to have music associated with that. And guess what? That music fucking affects you.
I don't know if I'm mad at that though. That's the issue. See, this is when I think you can start understanding more, and you can have, like, for me, I've been trying to figure out, because I get upset of a lot of shit I can't control, and a lot of the shit that I get upset about is government shit, is like shit that you start seeing, like Bill Cosby when he got released out of jail, and then as he's walking he just goes hey 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 as a joke. The first thing he says out of jail to a bunch of people that are filming him just goes, does the Fat Albert thing. And I look at that like, that's a shit dick move. That is a dick move. But hey, people might get mad at that, who cares. Government stuff though, like when I see the Nestle company, people complain about slavery. Well, no one focuses at the actual slavery that goes on in another country, all in the aspect of, we don't want to see it, so we don't care about it. That's the thing, is if we don't see it, if it's out of our line of view, we don't give a shit about it, rather than caring about things that we're doing in other countries that are completely ravaging and tearing it up, you know. And that's not like, oh, America bad. That's every country. There are countries like UK doesn't like the Brexit thing. A lot of people don't like, because they don't want Scotland to be their own thing. They don't want that. They said, no, you're a part of us. That's like if Texas decided to be its own country, which in some cases it probably is. I mean, that place is intense. But you look at it like, I'm not mad at the government doing what they're going to do when it comes to conditioning or brainwashing, the same way you wouldn't be mad at a restaurant for having red up on the side of the walls. They do red because it's color therapy. It's a way to try and red induces hunger. So the figures every single food place is going to use. I'm just looking at it like it's fucking fascinating that someone figured out this type of way that makes our brains think. And I'm wondering if we go back to where that first started, is that ingrained into us after generations upon generations, or is that something where it's like we just somehow they found the hint or the code book to the human mind where it shows this type of thing? Because like they did a test on rats where they gave this one rat every time it would smell this certain type of like candle burning, they would shock the shit out of it. Then they tested like after a couple of generations, like the rat had kids and then that rat had kids. They tested the babies. And as soon as the babies smelled that smell, they all started freaking out and bracing like they were going to be shocked. And I look at it like, is that everything that we think now, everything that we like when it comes to muscle cars? Look at perfect example, the human body. Look at the human body, what we found attractive when Marilyn Monroe was a fucking model. Compared to what we find attractive now, it is not the same thing. When did that shift happen? Was it that one? What was that one show? Your Mama or whatever it is, where they started talking about your mama's so fat, and then it goes to this whole line. Is that when the shift happened, or was it earlier than that? Because suddenly, like, there's a big epidemic going on that people are trying to stop in Africa, which is people taking, you know, the bouillon cubes you put in your like when you're cooking or something. They break it up, they put it in a little cup, and they take the juice out and they inject it into their ass or they inject it into their body to make it bigger, because it's all about having like a fat ass in Africa. And I know that sounds horrible to say, but it was a whole entire documentary I watched where like someone was showing them, well, you take this, you insert it up in here, and then you do that a couple times a day and your booty will get bigger. And it's like, but there's health risks to that. And it's like, doesn't matter. It's all about having children. It's all about, you know, finding someone. And it's like, you start to realize, when did this shift from like back in the day, dudes did not have a six pack. Dudes, David Hasselhoff never did fucking chest day. And now it's like you have to have a pec, you have to have all this type of shit, or you're not going to ever find anybody. And I look at it like, when did the shift happen? That's not genetic. That's not, you can't say, oh, what about the Spartans? Okay, but why in the 80s and 90s everyone just got addicted to cocaine and said, fuck it? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, dude, that's a wide topic to address there. But I think that, you know, this goes along.
Are you in your goddamn underwear?
No, I'm wearing Skittle shorts.
Stand up. I like those. Those are nice.
Thank you.
Sorry, the way you had it looked like you were wearing like underwear or briefs.
No. They're comfortable though. I mean, they might as well be.
I'm actually jealous of Skittle shorts.
Oh, I'll see if I can find you a pair. But 28s. Okay. 28s. When we talk about things like that, you know, like a lot of this goes back. A lot of it is kind of like when we see colors, we're programmed to believe that okay. So when you look at modern day advertising, for example, there is a rainbow of colors. There are actually like 256 million different shades and hues of color that we can perceive with our eyeballs. But when we watch advertising, marketing, and especially on TV, you're going to see a predominant red and blue color pattern. You're going to see very specific number patterns, things that are associated with the number 1, 2, or 3, most likely. You're going to see things that are like specific geometric patterns. A lot of those are going to be cubes, triangles, and hexagons. And the reason why those are so prevalent in modern day advertising, and they have been for the last 100 years, and even longer than that, for thousands of years, you know, like these are all ideas that came from Babylon. And probably Babylon got them from older cultures like the Lumerians, the Atlanteans, and things like that. You know, like we when science talks to us about modern man and civilizations, we have a history of about 12,500 years. But as we all know, they're constantly pulling up these relics and stuff that seemed to be much older, and it seemed to like the little the gearbox that they pulled out of the Mediterranean someplace, you know what I mean? And they're like, yeah, this seems to be like 100,000 fucking years old. So obviously we have a much richer history than the last 12,500 years. And to me, that's just apparent. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to be a moron to believe otherwise, in my personal opinion, when you look at how much evidence there is for this. But so what I'm getting at is, for thousands of years, we've had exposure to these ideas, that the one means a certain thing in numerology, the two means a certain thing in numerology, the three means a certain thing in numerology, and you have these certain power numbers, and you know, like, you get like 11s and 12s and all of it's and then, like, so these ideas, there are people who are in control of things in the world, people who are smarter than other people, people who have a degree of interest in controlling other people. And so they've established these kind of guidelines, if you will, and programmed us to believe that these colors, these patterns, and these numbers have certain specific meaning. And this is something that's been going on through like our entire human development, as far as I can tell. And, but especially so in the last 12,500 years, and especially so, like, I don't know, upon the invention of TV and radio, when we discovered electricity, we learned a lot of things about manipulation of the human body. I should say when we rediscovered it, because apparently, you know, like, sound and vibration and electrical current has been used to manipulate people, like I said, for thousands of years through things like war dances and sex rituals and these different things. You know, there's always like some sort of like lights associated with that, and music and beats, and, you know, like these primal, it gets into our primal instincts. And I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if that is an instinctual thing, or if that is programming, or if it's a combination of the two. Somebody like someplace was like, hey, looking at the color red really makes me hungry. And then he tells his buddy, hey, looking at the color red really makes me hungry. And his buddy's like, oh, you know what? You're right. The more I look at that red, the hungrier I get. Why? Well, maybe because I haven't been sitting here eating while I looked at the fucking red. Who knows? But the point is that idea started becoming prevalent. And then they were like, all telling their buddies, like, oh, hey, come check this out. If you look, you sit here and stare at this red for like 3 hours, you'll get really hungry. Well, yeah, I didn't eat anything during the entire time that I ate this, you know, that I looked at the red. So now it's kind of ingrained in my mind, though, that like, hey, I was looking at this red and this red made me hungry. Well, instead of like the hour that I spent sitting here waiting for my food to arrive at this restaurant made me more hungry. So, you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying there?
Older generations tell younger generations that they need to finish their whole entire whatever they have on their plate? Okay, how many people? Okay, so imagine getting conditioned to the point after generations upon generations of never having enough, then having too much, to where people are eating so much that even though they're full and their body's telling them to stop, they just know that their mind's like, gotta finish the plate. You start to realize like a lot of these bad habits that we have are only bad habits because they've been ingrained in society, because now the times have changed and we haven't developed new patterns to change with it. The simple concept of back in the 20s, you didn't have enough food. So whenever you got a piece, you ate everything on your plate. And now we're having enough food to the point where the mind and the body and all this stuff has not adapted to the fact that now we think of the task. Like, food is a task for a lot of people. For me, it's a task. Eating is a task. I don't want to do it, but I have to do it because I'll go starving or hungry otherwise. But for a lot of people, like now, like even we have a bunch of food, a lot of people put way too much on their plates, but their mind is conditioned to eat the full thing because the objective is completing the plate, is completing that, not just being full. That's where we have, like, we start to see some core issues of where things start to tend to go bad. I'm trying to figure out, like, what's the fix? Like, we're seeing psychedelics take a change. We're seeing all this type of stuff, but I don't think that's like the main issue that a lot of people want to consider. Like, the big thing is we need to get back to our ancestral roots. I've looked back through history. I've talked to plenty of people that study different time periods and eras, and there is a big spiritual side to it, but there's also a big psychedelic that goes hand in hand. And it seems like the psychedelic one was the first one cut out of like the main one, because it didn't deem right in the eyes of like a successful society. I mean, if we're both starting a nation and we're back to the square roots and we're like, all right, Kelly, it's about 250 AD. We got to figure out a way to make our civilization the most powerful one compared to all the others that are rivaling us. So what's the way to do that? Well, man, I mean, Kelly, if I was going to ask you, what are the big three influences in our society right now? Well, that's going to be psychedelics. It's going to be Christianity or some type of religion. And it's going to be the fact that we work, we produce food, we do something. And you're like, yeah, but two of those, I guess, are really like, what happens when, I mean, when we get into religion, what, people kind of live in a hive mind, they get in grouping. And then when we look about food and working, I mean, people want to strive and build up a better country, right? Those are two successful things. Yeah. But psychedelics, what about psychedelics? We get like free creativity. We get like expression. We get like these mind altering kind of fixing of realities of getting us on a position that we deem as a right position. You're like, yeah, man, but that raises questions, doesn't it? It does raise questions. Yo, we got to cut that out. Cause I mean, we can keep it, but everyone else can't have those types of things. And you start to see this push where society is starting to pick up psychedelics again and drop religion. And I'm like, you can't, I'm not even religious, but you can't drop it down to what it's at now, or you have a bunch of people questioning what the fuck life is. And does it mean anything? You need that there for mystery and hope as much as you need science to also balance each other out. It's a yin and a yang. There's all these balances that we have. We take out the issue, but we're left with this thing that ends up becoming another issue. It's like you got to look at it like there's a way to dim them down to where they don't mean anything anymore, or they're still there, but they're like when you truly cut off something entirely, like your gallbladder, it's a you use it or you lose it. And that's what happened with the gallbladder. We don't necessarily need that anymore. Okay, what about your sense of empathy? Are you going to use it or are you going to lose it? Then it boils down to even more things. And I don't know how far that spectrum is going to go. I think religion, I think science, I think psychedelics, I think whatever topic you want to talk about, I think all of it is deemed necessary, but I think it's a structural point. It's kind of like erasing your history. You need those types of things to make sure you're not falling into the same potholes and mistakes. Articles from the 50 that I was researching are shit we're doing now. And it's like, are we just stuck in a fucking loop? And you start to realize, no, it's because everyone forgets, and then the next generation falls in the same mistakes because no one's learning from it. The only thing that's changing is the equipment and technology around us.
Bro, what is happening right now is one of the scariest things in the world to me.
Did Jesus come back
with the confetti, with the whole like, let's get rid of the Confederate monuments, let's get rid of the Confederate flag.
Jesus, man.
Okay, those, I just wanted to point this out, guys. What he just said is true. If you forget your history, you're doomed to repeat it. So if you want to get rid of all these statues and you want to forget that of all this shit that happened during the Civil War and whatnot so you can repeat it again in 100 years, go right the fuck ahead for it, guys. But open your fucking eyes and realize what's being done to you and how you're being manipulated through this and this concept of like, we got to get rid of these evildoers in our society and these symbols of evil and blah, 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 blah. When you get rid of that and you forget that it happened, it's going to happen again. You will fall back. Dude,
I'm going to push you on your own little dinghy out to sea. You're alone in that ship because I have another sword I'd rather fall on. The sword I'd rather fall on is the fact of like corporations in the sea. I'm probably on the Clinton's kill list and the CCC. The CCP's kill list. I'm just waiting for one of them to try and get me first. So it's a competition between Hillary and a competition between whoever's running the CCP.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you talk a lot about a lot of strange things, man.
Not my fault. I want to talk shit on the giant corporations that are a couple countries away. So I don't have to worry about them coming to me until they pop up in my house. I'm like, oh, God, I was right.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know, man. Like, there's a lot of things going on in the world today that are going to cause us to repeat certain aspects of history that are not good.
That's your daughter.
That is my daughter.
She was going to give you a hug, and you said no.
I told her, no, she's not dressed appropriately. She's still wearing her pajamas. I don't want her on fucking in front of 10,000 fucking people.
What are you? You're wearing pajamas, you hypocrite.
I am not wearing pajamas. This is what I wear all day. This is my work clothes. It's like
you,
a suit.
Sir, have a ballsy way of living if that's how you walk out into public.
Absolutely.
Can I just picture a guy who's like 6'7", 6'8", just coming up to me wearing Skittle shorts and a fucking shirt that says, what is it? What does your shirt say again?
My shirt says,
I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. And a do-rag, too, of all things. I'm like, this is a ballsy. This is a person that walks into CVS at 1 o'clock in the morning looking for fucking batteries.
Hey, dude, I'll tell you what. I walk into the CCCP headquarters at fucking 1 o'clock in the morning and ask them for batteries, okay?
I don't think they sell batteries at the CCP.
I'm sure they don't, but you know what? I'll walk in there and tell them. I have, you know, once upon a time, I started doing this project for college. And
Jesus Christ, remember, if you bring up the guest lecturing again, I'm going to end the podcast.
I don't remember what exactly the project was four, but one thing that I did is I started calling all of the law enforcement agencies, everybody involved that I could throughout the entire country. I started with my local police and sheriff, moved into the state police, called the US Army, I called the FBI, and I called the CIA. And on
are
four
all their
of these
numbers
calls,
listed there, like are they on their site?
We have, yeah, actually, they're all.
I didn't see that on the CIA website. I was looking all over.
We have four different. We have a bunch of different agencies here in Flagstaff because we're like a major like drug and human trafficking zone because of the I-17 right next to Mexico and I-40 corridor, which goes from California to the East Coast. So we have a lot of these agencies here and such. But so I call one day, you know, I call the local police and sheriff, or I call the local police and, you know, it's two different agencies, obviously. So I call the local police and I say, hey, I'd like to discuss, I'd like to talk to your agent in charge of fielding reports on UFO contact and alien abductions. And I was told, we don't make a differentiation between those cases and any other cases. So if you were to actually want to find that, you'd have to dig through every report that was ever made about like domestic violence and fucking car theft and you know, like runny boogers and all that kind of stuff, runny noses and shit from little kids that were unexplained. And so I'm like, okay, wow, that seems kind of odd. So then I call the sheriff's department, asked them, I'd say, I'd like to speak to any agents that you have who would be in charge of fielding reports on UFO contacts, you know, alien contacts and, you know, abduction, stuff like that. And I got told basically the same answer. So then I called the state police and was given the same answer. And I called Fort Hood and spoke to some people out here at the Army base and was given the exact same fucking answer. And I called the FBI and I asked the exact same question and was given the exact same answer. The final call that I made was to the CIA. And when I called, the agent who answered the phone was a female. And she said, hello, Mr. Diffie. And I was like, okay, well, caller ID, but my phone's not in my name. So that's interesting. And I said, it made me think immediately. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to change something here real quick. And so I said, I'd like to speak to any, I said, hello, you know, how's it going? She says, oh, I'm fine. And I said, I'd like to speak to any agents that you have who would be involved in fielding reports on supernatural phenomenon. And she said, we don't have any agents that specifically handle UFO and
bullshit.
Alien abduction cases.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Hold on.
They
this is what she said. We don't have any agents that specifically handle UFO and alien abduction cases. And I told her, I said, that's not what I asked you, because I didn't ask her about aliens and UFOs. She knew what I had been asking all these other agencies and was answering that question. She had been, the CIA had been monitoring. They had either been calling each other or something. I don't know what was going on, but I think they had been monitoring my phone line. Okay, whenever I started making these calls for some reason, they started like fucking like something, it set off some sort of flag somewhere, man. And yeah. So they had been monitoring my phone line because she was answering questions that I didn't ask. And I was like, but I didn't ask that. And she's all, but we both know what you're talking about. And I was just like, whoa, like blown the fuck away by this, dude.
That's
like,
what happened when I was on the CIA website last night. It said, you want to allow them to see your cookies or your whatever your
yeah, sure.
And I was like, yes, but it did that. And then as soon as I started going into articles, my phone kept crashing. And then it says, keep trying Wi-Fi. And I was like, my Wi-Fi is not messed up because I'm on my Netflix on my Xbox. So I'm like, it's definitely not my, it's my phone. And then my phone just like went black. And then the Apple symbol popped up and then it restarted. And I went to go back into my Safari and it was all cleared. So I was like, all right, I'll CIA again. And I started going through the documents and it kept saying, keep trying Wi-Fi. And I'm like, did you somehow get into my phone? Because every article I was clicking on was like UFO. Because look, if I go to the CIA website right now, it's still saved on my phone. Hold on, I looked up government project because we had an example in the beginning of the podcast for anyone that skipped all the way to the end. And I found a 30,000-year disease. Why is it not popping up my fucking CIA search? What the fuck is this shit? Okay, well, apparently I never searched up the CIA. So let's just go to the CIA.gov. is where I went. And as soon as I hit the CIA dot, now it's not loading. Look at that. Wait. Oh, here we go. Hang on a second.
It's going to say, try your Wi-Fi.
I don't think this is the fucking thing I was looking at. Where's the resources? What do you got a tab for fucking resources? Learn more about.
You know what I find? While you're looking this up here, you know what I find interesting? Sometimes I'll go and I'll search up like YouTube videos and I'll watch them and they'll be kind of conspiratorially linked or whatever, you know? And then like, I'll start telling people about, yeah, I watched this video and it was kind of interesting. We should check it out and analyze it together and whatnot. And we'll go to like, look for it and can't find the video. And that shit happens to me all the time, dude. And it is really fucking irritating. I love the look on your face right now.
Cause there's an article called Animal Partners. Throughout history, trained animals have been used in security roles to fulfill mission requirements. And then they got a program for providing high-resolution oblique photography over denied areas. And they attached a camera to a bird. And it's a 17-page article. The Office of Research and Development, with support from the Office of Technical Service and National... I swear to God, half of these are just program outline.
That's a 17-page article. The listeners of the world, I hope, I just want to point this out, that the UFO report that was just released by the CIA, I guess, or DOD, or whoever the fuck it was, whenever they, you know, for part of the stimulus package, it was only 9 pages long.
Hang on, time out. That's one document out of 30 that are listed on a page of 10 each. So that's 30 each page. So that's just, I'm just letting you know that there's multiple different documents. This one says transfer of funds to the Office of Naval Research for Project OxyGas. Which is with dolphins. So let's research what that one is. Oh, do I want to accept cookies? Yes, I do. Okay. The Office of Research and Development requests that funds in the amount of $81,000 be transferred to the Office of Naval Research in order in the new training facility construction may be affected by Navy on Project OxyGas. Reference A and B, the new dolphins training facilities are to be constructed on the U.S. Naval base, this is all old shit because everything's like they say, the Freedom of Information Act, this article publication date was released last year. And guess what? The publication date of when this was all written was September 9th, 1965. So I'm just everything that we're getting now is from 50 years ago to make sure everybody that was involved with it is dead. So you can't hold the liable statue. What about Operation Midnight Climax, where they were drugging people? They drugged Charles Manson. They had a fucking team. I just listened to a lot of this shit yesterday and today. So I've been like heavily into this, but they paid Charles Manson to go out into like Santa Cruz or whatever the hell he went to survey land. And everyone's like, what the he's never been known to survey land. That's like asking Pee Wee Herman if you could inspect your car. He only rides a fucking bike. What are you talking about? It doesn't make sense. The lines don't add up. And a probation officer was 5 states away, but still who lets somebody who's on probation travel that far? I don't know anybody that does that. They start researching more into this shit and realize that the government which ended up Project Blue Book, which ended up turning into MK Ultra, that people still deny, saying that that's a conspiracy theory, even though that the government's been known to drug people with LSD in their drinks, that has caused people to go on schizophrenic. They've been known to
drug us with fucking fluoride in our drinks.
Oh my God. Did you see the article about they're putting vaccines in zoo animals? And I'm like, I didn't even know animals could get COVID. When are you just going to put it in our food? Cause we're door to door doesn't work. It's like DoorDash. We're just going to put it in your food and fucking cut out the middleman.
Water system. Yep. Exactly. Water system, food.
I'll be good until they get cans of tuna. Then I'm fucked. Well, Johnson & Johnson just came out saying that there's another rare side effect that happens with their vaccine. It's some type of neurological thing that 8 out of like 20 something million people get. And I'm like, okay, well, this is like the third thing you guys have had wrong with your shit. So I'm just wondering, the FDA adds new warning to Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine for rare side effect. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines after 100 people out of 12.8 million vaccinated patients developed Guillain-Barré syndrome, a largely recoverable neurological condition. But I look at it like, I get it. I'm not saying I'm anti-vax. I'm just saying it was rushed. But you look at that and I'm like, that's the third thing. You guys have fucking
dude. And so like, what's going to be long-term? What are the long-term effects of this, man? I had a guy who came to me in the grocery store the other day and he was like, first of all, like nobody around me has been wearing a mask. I've been noticing like nobody's wearing a mask. 4 months ago, everybody's wearing a mask. If you didn't wear a mask, you're getting fucking side-eyed. If you fucking nowadays, like fucking nobody's wearing a mask. And if you are wearing a mask, you're getting fucking side-eyed by all the people who were side-eyeing you for not wearing a mask 4 fucking months ago. Pricks. But this guy stops me in the grocery store and he says, man, have you been vaccinated? And I said, no. And he said, dude, don't. He saw, ever since I fucking got the vaccine, I've been having dreams every night that in 10 years I wake up and have cancer.
What?
Dude,
the fuck is that?
Right?
I'm not turning this into an anti-vax episode, but look.
I'm not either, but I'm just saying, hey, you know
all of Walmart's,
we don't know what the long-term effects of this are.
All of Walmart's self-checkouts are now card. And I'm like, oh, because now you realize like, okay, so now they're cutting it down to where you, if you're going to pay with cash, see with card, for instance, with the cameras, if they catch you like not scanning something, they just charge your card without telling you. They'll just go get it. Now it's like, if you pay with cash, that was the slip around behind it, is that you could walk out without having to worry about somebody charging your card.
So they don't want to charge you on the card. They don't have to charge you on the card. They got all your personal information. They send the police to your house and arrest you.
Yeah, I always get an email. After I buy at Walmart, I'm like, I've never put my email in at a fucking Walmart. Why would I do that? I don't need to buy fucking rice and beans. I don't need to give you my email. That sounds like a load of crock of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When is it just going to get to the point where the president is going to be a guy that used to sell oranges on the freeway? I would love that. I would love it. I think that guy would care more about me than the people that actually are in the office.
Dude, the people who are in our office don't give a fuck about any of us, dude. I'm sorry if you voted for any of those people.
I'm not.
I'm just saying, you know, if you're foolish enough to believe that the voting system is not broken, you're foolish enough to believe that anybody in the fucking in office anywhere gives a fuck about anything other than their fucking bankroll,
you know,
you were fucking blind.
I had a realization last night at 1 a.m., so it might be a good thought. It might be a bad one. You're probably the best person I could bounce this off to because you understand me a little bit. So we have a guy in our office that was apparently elected by the people because the people elect the people that go in, right? He has an eye patch. So we know that there used to be a joke or type of stereotype that'd be like, oh, Catholic Church, you know, oh, priest, oh, you know, little boys, that type of thing. Then it ended up being true when we looked into it. Hannibal Buress revealed the Bill Cosby thing. And then everyone was like, is that true? And then opened up that world of information. So when we have people like Bill Gates, Jeffrey Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, all flying private jets to the point that they had to delay their flights because they were too much airspace travel that was going on, all heading to the same exact summit, which is a meeting in a volcano or a fucking whatever mountain. talking about ways to fix and save the environment? When do we not look at that? Like, what's every evil villain's headquarters is in the side of a fucking mountain. You have three of them coming together with what? Oh, they're all three meeting together, but what are they doing? Oh, well, they're going to talk about the environment. I'm sure 100% that's what they're doing. They're thinking of ways to help the people. Am I right? And I look at it like, when do we look at the stereotypical or joke that we have about villains going into mountains or getting a secret lair, and we look at this scenario like these are just people that have made a disguise saying that they're pro help when really they're meeting together like, all right, this is the one time we got about 20 minutes to talk about the real shit that we're going to do. Illuminati shit comes out. All I'm fucking saying is, what, when can we look into that as a possibility that we might have a bunch of people that somehow have created these major platforms and now are slowly controlling the flow of information? They only want you to know what you should know or what they think you should know, not what is actually known.
It's only obvious. I mean, you know, how can anybody live in the year 2021 and not know what the fuck is going on around you with the people who fucking run the world?
I'm trying to ask people. I'm like, what are you eating in your daily diet? What are you drinking? And I'm asking everybody, and I'm trying to find the core similarity. People are like, I drink water. I'm like, it's in the fucking water. I don't drink water. So I'm fucking thinking clear, and you're all fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm. It's something, dude. I'm telling you, dude, it is fucking bizarre, dude. It is amazing how crack. Blind people are and how much people will argue with you about the subject. It's just
I'm
like,
not blind.
Oh,
I'm trying to understand it, Kelly. I'm trying to.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, man, I've been studying this shit. Like, what are you, 23 years old, 24 years old?
23.
I started studying this stuff, dude, when I was 18. I'm 45.
How have you
now.
Not blown your goddamn head off?
Dude, I ask myself that question all the time, dude.
Fuck me. I'm sitting like, on top of my porch like, what the fuck? I just want to jump and land neck first.
Dude, I think it every day. I'm like, please, God, take me out of this fucking place. Like, somebody.
Did you just itch your balls? What are you doing to me?
Dude, I can do what I want, man. Are you staring at my
podcast,
balls?
Man.
Edit it out, bro.
I'm not editing. It's going to end up hitting 2 hours, and I'm not going to have to be able to edit it.
Well. I gotta do something, man.
Maybe it'll get my subscribers up.
Hey. I didn't know you could see like that portion. That's why you were like, oh, turn your camera sideways, buddy.
No, it's just like, so we're not looking through a fucking that's actually gonna show more of it down there. Did you just fart too? What was that?
No, that was some sort of weird fucking noise on my
now. I'm seeing more of the below part.
No, how? Why I can only see from it? Here up.
This
I can
is
only
goddamn
see
continuity errors. There we go. Thank you.
I'm trying to get you to edit that portion of the video out.
I can't edit. It's too long now. You missed our mark.
Damn it. Damn it. All right. Well, that's all right. Hi, guys.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank Podcast. I'm Kelly. <Just kidding. laughs> Should we redo? Should we go back?
Good. Let's just roll with it. I'm good with it. I don't care.
I might have to take a pee break if we have to restart.
Huh. I'm good either way.
Did you want to throw up your egg white frittata and then re-eat it so we could have the same basis? Like, you know, when they redo a scene over and over again, this is the 10th time filming this scene where he punches me in the face. Can you tell him to pull his punches? Like, Jesus Christ, I'm going to look like I had a stroke.
There was recently somebody who was doing that, right? Like, there was a whoever was it? They were filming some sort of something, and somebody was they were filming with a fighter, man, and this fighter beat the dog shit out of the actor, I guess, and was like, the actor was like, can you tell him to stop fucking all punch drunk all can you tell him to stop killing me, please?
You know, like, the comedian Bobby Lee?
Yes.
He was in a movie with John Cena. And like John Cena in the scene was supposed to wake him up by taking his hand and like slapping him on the chest. But John Cena did it the first time and like patted his chest, but it looked like he did it hard. Like when they do in WWE where they kind of do like the fake stunts type stuff. And Bobby Lee goes, what the fuck was that? Like, hit me, man. He didn't know John Cena at the time. He's never seen WWE or anything like that. He's like, what are you, an actor? Just fucking hit me. John Cena was like, I'm gonna kill the shit out of you or something like that. It's like a joke, you know, in a joking way. John Cena is like, I'm gonna fucking make you see God. And then he comes down and hits him, and Bobby Lee goes up and goes, oh, and they get the scene. He goes, all right, go back to what you were doing before. Cause it was like, it was way. And you know, well, this is the thing, like Quentin Tarantino got a lot of shit when he made the movie. What's a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, when he had Bruce Lee in there, a bunch of people lit him up like about Bruce Lee and like making him look bad or something like that. Bruce Lee, if you ask any stuntman that's in a thing with Bruce Lee, his point was that like, they all call Bruce Lee like an asshole because he never pulled his punches. He didn't want stuntman to do it either. He actually saw American Stuntman as like scum, as like trash, because he goes like, fucking really fight, you know, like do that type. He's seen it as like they weren't as worthy or as, and I know it sounds weird saying that because it makes him sound like he's an entitled person. It's like, no, it just, he didn't see them as like true. He didn't see them as like tough as he was. They seen him as like, you know, very, very little in his eyes, stuntmen were. And
so I can completely understand that.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why, because for 15 years I did security, personal security for high profile clientele, actors, musicians,
that bodyguard wrestlers. Shit. There's a guy I play basketball with that fucking is a like, professional bodyguard, like celebrities and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm gonna shoot you right in the fucking head. You just got size, you didn't show, but you look, you're not tough. I could use anybody I know that has any a year of karate experience could easily punch you in the fucking throat.
Well, see, and the point that I was going to make is like, so I did security for these guys for a lot of years, and I'm not the kind of guy who's like,
stop itching your balls.
Jesus. I'm not. I'm scratching my foot, man. Like, there's,
I can't see that. You're looking like, fucking, look like you're digging for gold. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
No, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm sitting kind of Indian style cross-legged, and something is fucking with the top
do
of
I
my
have
foot
to,
here. Like,
do I have to tell you what you're supposed to tell little kids? Don't eat what you find.
Yes, don't eat what you find.
Or did you just pull out a toe hair?
No, I was like, I don't know.
I'm going to throw up. Can you stop?
No, the string attached to my shorts, man. Will you calm down? Damn. So people ask me a lot, like people hear that or people see my size. Or I don't know what it is, man, but I get people who are like, do you want to spar? Let's spar. Let's spar. And I'm like, dude, I don't spar, bro. If you want to fight me, come over here and take a swing.
What time are you going to CVS where someone's like, I want to spar. I want to spar. I just picture you're at a CVS and some dude's like on meth, like, let's spar.
It's happened with a couple of strangers, but it usually happens with like friends and like associates and shit like that. Oh, spar. I'm like, dude, I don't spar. Like, if we're going to fight, we're going to fight. Like, I don't want to play fight because I've been conditioned to boot. I'm like, you know, like I've been kind of conditioned in my head to, you know, like if you take a swing at me, I'm gonna come at you. I'm gonna fucking and I can't stop that. I can't turn that off. I can't turn that into playing. You know what I mean? That's not something to me that, so I can get that with the Bruce Lee thing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, if you're gonna take a swing,
that's
take a
not,
swing.
That's
come
not
over
what
here.
He's saying. What he's saying.
I realize that.
What he's saying is the acting thing. He looks at that like he actually wants you to hit him because he wants to hit you back is the whole point. Like he wants to, which I mean, I get if you want like real, like, you know, like fucking good movie filming things. But like everyone that goes like, Bruce Lee's a legend, shut your mouth. I'm like, you see what? Enter the Dragon one fucking time and you act like you know this fucking individual. Like that was old Quentin Tarantino's point was like, you don't fucking know the story behind this. He didn't create karate. He didn't do any of this type of stuff. He made it popular, sure. But like his wife lied about a lot of shit in the books and she's still making shit about it. And like Quentin Tarantino never got a word from her because she knows what's the truth. She lies about a lot of shit, apparently. Now, I don't know her personally, but I get it. I mean, you want to make money. Bob Marley's family still makes money off of Bob Marley shit just because it's a profit. I get it. It's not discrediting him. It's not doing any of that type of stuff. But people want to take it to like, oh, you mean this? It's like, no, I'm just rationalizing his point. I think people start to get an overhyped personality or sensation about someone and they don't truly understand like this thing. My big issue is like, when somebody says something and it stereotypicalizes something, then you look and it's actually true. Like Oregon. Holy shit, dude. I watched a 15 minute montage of like, it's called Just an Average Day in Oregon. And it's like a happy song, like, da, 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 and it's over and over again. And it's just cars on fire, people doing heroin on the side of the road. And I'm like, oh my God. And it's like Just an Average Day. And it's a dude just filming multiple montages of video, fucking car exploded on the freeway. And like, it's just average shit. There's homeless people everywhere. I'm like, I understood the homeless was an issue, but you really see it all. And you're like, oh my God. Like,
something that occurs to me, you've brought up this word several times today, and this word is a word that I love and everybody else hates it.
What word is
stereotypes? That? Don't stereotype me. The people who say the stereotypes are false and don't,
hey man, what's that stereotype? It's a Sony.
The people who say that, I think, are because they fit into those stereotypes and don't want to be grouped into them. They don't like the fact that
it's, am I a meth addict? True.
There's like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
is that what you're saying? Is I'm a meth addict? I shouldn't be picking on meth addicts.
Maybe. Are you? No. No, what I'm saying is, like, if you fall into a stereotype, it's
Diet Sam's Cola is meth. Stereotype that I'm a meth addict.
Stereotypes exist for a reason. Okay, because people have seen patterns. And as we've discussed earlier in the show, human beings are susceptible to patterning. Like, we follow patterns. If you want to see the patterns that we follow, look at the products that we consume. Look at the most popular products in the world and tell me, are these products really the best products? Usually not. They have a great name. They're kind of flashy. Everybody else is buying them, so we might as well. Beats by Dr. Dre headphones. The only time I use headphones is either when I'm gaming or whenever I'm on doing the podcast here. And I use my $25 Turtle Beach gaming headset.
Yeah, we need to get you a better one. We're going to be doing podcasts a lot. We got to have like a nice microphone for you.
I have a nice microphone actually, but I've got to set up my laptop and stuff. And yes, I know. Look at you. It's a Yeti.
What the fuck are we doing here? I'll wait an extra 5 minutes for you to set that shit up. It doesn't take long.
No, it doesn't at all.
Then I got to spend an hour and a half of fucking editing trying to edit all the... like, Jesus.
Every time I move and it makes that noise.
And you hear your fucking chin hair hit the microphone. I hate you. God damn it. I don't even know what we're talking about now. You got me all off track. I want to get to the point where my show, whenever someone says out of the, instead of saying box, I want to hear blank. I want to be the first thought that goes into your head.
Do you remember what I called your show the first time I was on it? Into the blank.
Oh yeah, into the blank. That's still like, a good one.
As you know, yeah, because we got into the blank, you know, and we've been into the blank deep a lot of times since then.
Did you know he's coming out of it though?
This is something that I want to say, and I wanted to say this since we started the podcast today. Frank L. Baum wrote 14 books called like in the Wizard of Oz series, and if you don't know about the mind control value of that fucking series of books, please investigate it.
Okay.
Wizard of Oz is, you like MK Ultra, you like to study MK Ultra and shit, man. Study the Wizard of Oz. Study why it was written, what it's written about. Study all 14 books and Frank L. Baum. Study the author. Get into him, dude. You're going to love this subject, dude. You'd like to talk shit about Mr. Rogers. You want to know about an evil motherfucker? Look into the history of the Wizard of Oz.
First off, everything I've said about Mr. Rogers is possibly true until proven guilty.
I was going to start today's episode with It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, just for you.
Do I really talk that much shit on Mr. Rogers?
I don't know if you've talked that much shit on Mr. Rogers, but I happen to be like whenever Mr. Rogers comes up, it's like I'm taking my gloves off, dude. I'm ready to like, come on. Say what you got to say. I'm going to.
Oh, you're defensive of Mr. Rogers.
Oh, man. Dude, I don't like many famous people. But I love Bob Ross and I love Mr. Rogers.
I like Bob Ross, but you know, if you look at Bob Ross's past, wasn't he like a severe alcoholic?
I think so. He had a lot of issues.
That's why he went to painting.
That's why he went to painting. Yeah.
That's why I'm saying Mr. Rogers. What's the secret behind that man's curtain? Maybe he likes. I think he likes dressing up in like dominatrix type leather shit. I think he likes to cross dress, which I don't have a problem with. I just wish some of that information would come out, because there seems like he's hiding something. And I don't think it's bad. I just think, like, people go like, you mean like with kids? I'm like, no, I think he just has something about him that was not normal, that wasn't right in the eyes of society. And he was closeting something. And I was like, I hope that information comes out. But I don't think anybody, his family is alive to be able to say or talk about it.
My dad talks about when I was a kid, I heard
my dad, you're gonna be like, my dad's a cross dresser. I'm like, Kelly, it's genetic. You got it in you.
My dad talks about an incident with Mr. Rogers where on his birthday they put a blow up doll inside of the closet where he would go to change his sweaters and stuff. And he fired the entire cast. Or the entire crew, the film crew, the you know, the production guys and the fucking camera guys and everything for the show, because he was like, if that had gotten to air, it would have destroyed my reputation. He was pissed about the fact that they did that to him. So I don't know, and I don't know where my dad got that information from, but it's a story that I've heard my dad talk to about people on a couple of occasions about Fred Rogers. And when I was younger. And so I don't know where he got that information from. And I've tried to look it up, and like, you can't find anything on the internet about it. So I don't know where the story came from, but I've always thought that was an interesting story. And that's what kind of has always solidified Mr. Rogers as being a decent person in my heart, because he was like, if that had gone in front of the kids that I teach to, or that I show my show to, like,
so you look at it that way, though. But the way I look at it is, like, imagine if you know that people are being like TMZ and all this type of shit. There's old style forms of journalism where people go and try and find incriminating shit on people. Imagine if he was afraid that that was going to get out, and then someone was going to do a deep dive and like watch him and then see his actual horrible shit that he does. And when we say horrible shit, I don't think it's like murdering, but I think it's like maybe he was cross-dressing or something. He was afraid for it to come out.
It's possible, you know, I mean, it's possible that maybe, you know, he said that, but I mean, it's also probably, you also have to take into consideration, it's possible that he just didn't want that to happen, because maybe he didn't give a shit if anybody was looking at him, scrutinizing him. Maybe he just didn't want that to happen because he honestly gave a shit about being a good person.
Pretty sure everyone everyone probably said that about Bill Cosby at some point.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to bring that up.
What I'm saying is, my whole point is here is like, why don't you, if you're more honest about who you are or what you like or all these types of things, you'll have less of a problem. Armie Hammer asked his ex-girlfriend, or now ex, that he wanted the lower part of her ribs to eat. Like, that's a thing that's proven. That's been out in articles, but it only lasted like a month because no one gave a fuck after that. It was like really hype news, and then it was the next trend. It's what I'm saying is, if you're more honest about your shit rather than lying about it, we wouldn't have the situations that we're in now. More people lie about the shit that ends up coming out later. Fucking Hunter Biden. I hate to bring it to politics. That man was accepting money from Russian characters and figures for $500,000. Then it's all silent for a couple of months after he ends up stop accepting those bribes. Then he becomes a painter and paints these fucking weird ass, crazy, stupid ass fucking paintings. And guess how much he sells these paintings for to a mysterious buyer?
$500,000.
Exactly. When the fuck do we look at it like, hey, it's the same shit, but they found a scheme to hide it. Just be honest about your shit, and you'll get so much more out of life. Like, did you know, like, there's an Ellen clip that you can watch when they're talking about like stuff that you can put on your skin to make your face like younger. And Ellen just goes, she knows what it is, but turns it into a joke. She goes, so where does this stuff come from? She goes, it comes from across overseas from like younger things. And she's like foreskin. And it's baby foreskin. She was rubbing baby foreskin on her fucking face. And nobody talks about like that shit. It's all got to be hidden. It's got to be that. The more you hide it, the worse it gets. Like, Papa John knew this shit. He goes, if I keep trying to fight this or I keep trying to recover this, it's just going to dig me even deeper in the hole. So let it lay silent and then come back strong. He came back, and now fucking the whole documentary came out that he was fucked over. You start to realize, like, sometimes they say you're fleeing the scene. Is it fleeing the scene or coming back when everyone's not so, because everyone's at pitchforks and torches at this point, right? You gotta wait till it all boils down.
So two things, man, you know, like, first of all, since I was a little kid, I've always thought about, man, I should run for the presidency of the United States. And when I got older, I thought to myself, I should run for the presidency of the United States on the platform that not only do I have no idea what the fuck I'm going to be doing as the president of the United States, because I'm not a politician, but I'm an ex-drug dealer, an ex-cult leader. I fucking have whooped people's asses for money. I've fucking done drugs. I've done meth. I've fucking done coke. I fucking have smoked weed. I've eaten mushrooms. I fucking sold acid. I fucking sold meth. And just come out and tell everybody all the shit that I've ever done that was fucking horrible and bad. Because number one, the person that I want running my country is honest. I don't give a fuck all the shit that they've done. If they're going to come out and tell me, hey, look, you know what? I've done all this, man. I've atoned for my sins and I'm ready to make a move forward. Or if they're like, hey, I'm doing all this shit now, but at least I'm being honest with you about what the fuck I'm doing. Dude, that's more points to me than all the fucking kissing babies, shaking hands and smiles and bullshit politician fucking bullshit that these dumb assholes try and force feed us.
I got to make sure that I play this so I'm not fucking seen as like, that's bullshit. So this is what I was talking about. And it turns out the lady that she was talking about, the foreskin thing that Ellen was talking about, it's called a penis facial. And Sandra Bullock was promoting this. So there's another reason I don't like Sandra Bullock besides her resting bitch face. So let me just play this.
Sandra. Carrie. What are you pushing into the skin?
Well, you push in whatever the facialist would like to insert into your pores.
But what is it?
It is an extraction from a piece of skin that came from a young person far, far away, and they somehow figured out how to extract.
It's foreskin from a Korean baby.
So
people are laughing about this. People, are, what you
that's what I'm saying. How fucking weird is that?
If she didn't think this is weird, why was she having such a hard time explaining that?
Why
didn't she just come out, dude?
What's fucking strange is somehow just because it's Sandra Bullock, people are like, and then like,
yeah, it's okay.
What the like? That's an actual thing. That was, when was this video? Hang on a second. It was 3 fucking years ago. And that was okay. Like, people just glossed over that. But now it's like so fucking cringe to look back at. Like, what else through history? What else?
We're worried about fucking like, this guy, he fucking said, you know, we have to take his name off a street because he said a racist thing one time fucking 275 years ago.
Kelly.
We're not looking at the fact that this bitch is fucking pushing fucking human foreskins into her fucking
Is she face? Still doing it? Is that why Brad and Angelina have so many adopted kids? When I told you that, it sounded like the biggest load of bullshit where you were like, check. And then you fuck it. I played it. I feel validated. I feel like I'm not smoking a full pipe of crack, but maybe a little bit. But look, it's real shit. I'm just saying, I might not get it 100% accurate like a bullseye, but I get close to the damn mark. And I think I should get a little bit of like, can I get a round of a fucking applause, please?
For me, you can. Standing O. I would stand, but I'm wearing my Skittles underwear. And
I kind of wanted to see him again.
Standing O. Let's see here. Standing O. Dude, I'm glad that you validated that. And you know what? This is something that you're going to hate me for saying this. Whenever I guest lecture, I like to begin with the statement, hi, my name is Kelly Diffie, and I'm a liar. Everything I want to tell you today is absolute bullshit. I hope you believe that, and I hope you go out and try to debunk me, because you're going to have fun with that. I want you to think of everything that I say whenever you hear me say things about like Frank L. Baum is fucking an evil man who fucking wrote these, you know, books to control the minds of children and it's a CIA operation and blah, blah, blah. I hope you think to yourself as a listener and as the podcast host, this guy's so full of bullshit, I'm going to debunk him. Please research everything. Whenever you hear me say anything, please research it. Please go forth and look at it. When I make a factual statement, it's because it's stuff that I've researched. And whenever I make statements that I'm not positive or fact, I'll always denote that. Like when I said, like, I don't know where my dad got that information about Mr. Rogers, but I would love for somebody to be able to either fucking prove or disprove that story to me one day. And so I tell people that I've heard this story, and nobody has ever been able to like discount the story or like confirm it. So, you know, when I say things that I'm not positive about, I will always disclaim it. But whenever I say something and it sounds like I'm stating a fact, you can bet your bottom dollar that if you go out and research it, you're going to find out that what I'm saying probably carries a little bit of water, a little bit of weight. It, the story holds water. The stories that I tell are true. Like, I'm not into like embellishment of facts, because if I do that, it discredits me and makes me look stupid, and it makes you look stupid for hosting me.
I make myself stupid, so I don't know.
You're a good guy, man. Like, I get a lot of people who like listen to the show, and they tell me like, man, I love listening to you.
How about some of those guys send me a fucking message? Jesus, I'm over here thinking I'm just farting into the fucking wind.
So that's the challenge, right? If you guys are one of my followers and you're listening to the podcast today, send Robbie a message and tell him he's doing a good job.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. I can't handle it.
Blow him up. Ah.
I only want a message from the CCP saying they'd like to meet with me.
The CCP? Is it the CCCP or the CCP?
The CCP. Two C's and a P.
That's the Russian organization?
That's the Chinese government.
Oh, the Chinese. Oh,
who has officially banned YouTube, Spotify, or any listening platform because of what's going on in our country for the past year, can be seen as wrongful information to the Chinese people.
Well, they've been banning, like, they've had, like, a lot of social media platforms banned.
I made a shirt for the Chinese people. I made my logo or my out of the blank letters, and I did it in Chinese. So that's painted on the back as a symbol of, like, the symbols. It looks like a Goku t-shirt. And then I did it in different colors. So it's a variety. And I'm like, even though we're banned in China, you can still get our merch. So the message, because we care about them, too. We care about everybody in the world. I wish I could do more languages, but then I'd have too much merch on my store. So everyone just learn English or Chinese. That's terrible. I can't say that. We'll eventually get to everywhere. Hopefully Estonia, because apparently I have a large listening there and I love my people there.
In my personal opinion, I believe that we'll all be speaking Mandarin in 30 years anyway. So yes, start now. Start learning your Chinese now by buying a out of the blank and out of the blank into the blank out of the box into the box. What is the name of this program again, dude?
It is called the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Oh man, the Degenerate Show. The Ellen DeGeneres.
We both have the same haircut.
Are you in trouble if I say that?
We both have the Ellen same DeGenerate? Haircut.
Is that
Ellen DeGeneres?
Degenerate.
She has. Degenerates? Don't say that.
Is it
actually? Is that, you might be safe because she did abuse the shit out of her interns.
Yeah, well, you know,
and the show's not going on anymore. So okay.
You know, she's got other shows going on. Like there's that new game show that's out, but I don't see how she still has any form of popularity after all of this shit that's going on with her name being drugged through like the Jeffrey Epstein bullshit. And
no,
the fucking...
we've hit too many major topics. I'm going to wrap it. I'm going to wrap it next episode. Okay?
Next episode. Don't let me forget Jeffrey Epstein next episode.
Okay.
And all the shit that's going on, Wayfair, all that shit.
I've talked about it multiple times, but.
Oh, I know you have. I know you have, but you and I haven't talked about it.
Okay. Is there anything you want to end on, Rusty's Customs, where people can find you?
Yes, please come by my Instagram page and check it out. It's at Rusty's Customs. It's an underscore between Rusty's and Customs. So it's at Rusty's underscore Customs. And just drop me a message and say, hey, man, if you want to talk about any of the topics we've talked about on the show today or any of the shows in the past. Or if you just want to bullshit, need a friend and need somebody to talk to, hit me up, man. I'm always here. And Robbie, I love you. I love your show. I love being able to come on here and chit chat with you. We thought we have some great conversations. You're probably one of my favorite people in the whole world to talk to. So keep up what you're doing, man. And, you know, shine your light in the world, brother.
Now I really got to edit this podcast.